Some years ago, we used to sing this chorus. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what no other power can do. This morning, you have any mountains? Any rivers? Any giants? A better question would be, is there anyone who does not have rivers, giants, and mountains? We're going to look at a passage this morning that is highly possible the most well-known among believers and unbelievers. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the chapter about David and Goliath, the giant that must be removed. Now, there are 51 verses here to cover this passage, so I thought we'd just highlight what we need to read here concerning the passage. The background is so well known. You know that the armies of the Philistines are gathered, the armies of the Israelites of Valley Between. Goliath, the Philistine giant, comes out, taunts the armies of Israel. Send a man to fight with me. If I win, you'll be our slaves. If you win, we'll be your slaves. Saul and the armies of Israel are frightened and don't know what to do. God has a plan. And we need to find the purpose of this passage in order to interpret it properly. So we say, why did the Holy Spirit include this event in the sacred writ of Scripture? The purpose of the passage is to reveal how God used David to defeat Goliath. The hero is not David. The hero is God himself. If we miss that, we miss the whole point of the chapter. So, in order to study the passage, we ask the question, how did God use David to remove Goliath? God wants Goliath removed because Goliath is the enemy of God as well as the enemy of the Israelites. Our Goliaths, our mountains, our rivers, our trials are the enemies of God as well as our enemies. And so he uses us to defeat them. So the first thing, the very first thing we must consider here is the fact that God chose David. And to understand that, please turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And here's how this came about. We have Samuel, the first prophet, and we have had Saul, whom the people demanded as their king, and there's a problem. 16:1. Then the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? Saul hears it, he'll kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said, went to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in, and now he was of rosy complexion, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, and Samuel went his way. God choosing David is a selection from among many. We can use the word pick. God picked David, not the others. Not all of those in the armies of Israel. Not his brothers. God chose David. And the same thing is true of our salvation. You're here as a Christian, it's because God selected and picked you. The other day I'm in the market and they're in the produce department. And there's a lady who looks like she's still dressed in her pajamas, but that doesn't matter. And she wants to find some avocados. She's picky. I mean, she's pinching them and turning them over and picking just the one she wanted. What's she doing? She's electing. She's choosing. God has done the same. Out of the teeming mass of humanity, God chooses us. The most humbling truth in the world. The one that makes us most grateful, and the one that makes some people most angry, because they refuse to believe in the sovereign right of God to do as he pleases. So we need to begin right here. God chose David. And God chose Goliath to be the enemy. And whatever rivers or giants or mountains we have, they have been chosen by God for us. The second point is that God gave David the consuming desire for God's glory. Verse 26 of 17. And in verse 26, David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And verse 46, David speaking to Goliath, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth." That, there's that purpose word, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David's war with this giant has the right purpose: the glory of God. And he's going with the right motive. He wants God to be known. He's going there with the right priority. The sheep are important, but more important is the defeat of Goliath. And so David is sent by God into this battle with a consuming desire for God's glory. And this morning we have problems, trials, difficulties. We face an ungodly culture and personal things that come to our life. And we need to know what the purpose is. We need to have the right motive. And we need to have the priorities that God gave David. And we pray that God will give us that same consuming desire for God's glory. You know, you could go through life and attempt to do, quote, great things. If they aren't done with the right motive, it's absolutely useless and empty, counts for nothing. The third point in this passage that reveals how God used David is that God gave David strength to persevere in spite of opposition. Verse 28 of chapter 17. David has come here and he's brought the bread and cheese that the father gave him. And now, verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard David speaking to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride, the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause and a reason?" And David went on with his mission. Here is his own family bringing criticism and opposition to David. "You don't belong here. You shouldn't be here. You're only here for your own pride and your own glory. Give up. Someone else is to do this." Sometimes the opposition comes from very close to us. Some from surrounding people, some from the world. God gave David strength to persevere in spite of opposition. And in the fourth point, God gave David faith to rely on God's own faithfulness. Verse 32 of chapter 17. Strength, the faith to rely on God's faithfulness. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. And moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Here's faith. God gave David the faith to rely on God's faithfulness. And as we Christians move through life and see how faithful God is in bringing us across the river and through the mountain and facing the giants, it sort of piles up, and our faith increases, and we say, I've got a problem here. But God brought me through this last year. And 10 years ago, I faced an insurmountable problem. But here I am. How did I get here? God brought me through. What a wonderful thing that is. And David is referring to the lion and the bear. And he's referring to something in the future by saying, God will do it again. Is he capable? Yes. Is he faithful? Yes. Which leads us to say, trust him. Trust him this morning. Everything looks humanly hopeless. Trust him. In fact, the one and only thing that we have that can honor and glorify God is to trust him. He's not impressed with our activities, with these outward things of service. God wants us to trust him. With the giants, with the mountains, with the rivers, with the trials, with his provision and his protection. He wants us to be people who trust him, not people who are filled with programs and activities. Trust him this morning. That is the issue. Will I trust God this morning? Will you trust God this morning with what is humanly that can only happen as God gives us the faith, as he gave it to David. Now, in the fifth place, God gave David the commitment to fight with God's armor. Verses 39 and 40 of chapter 17, beginning at verse 38 of 17. So Saul clothed David with his armor, that is, Saul's armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Isn't that great? Saul's armor won't do the job. Now, there's symbolism here. What does God's armor represent? I mean, Saul's armor. Represents the world, the world's methods, the world's schemes, the modern church growth movement to build big churches. Those are the schemes, the world's methods. David took them on. And he went to battle in the name of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, we have instruction as to how we live our life. And war against giants and things that come into our life. And we learn in the New Testament passage, we do not war. We do not make spiritual warfare with the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, of giants, of rivers, of mountains, of trials, of opposition, of difficulties. God gave David the commitment to fight with God's armor, and this is perhaps one of the greatest needs in the church today. One of the greatest needs among Christians is not to give in to the temptation for success or victory using the world's schemes and methods. In the sixth place, God gave David a testimony. And in the midst of trial, that may be our most important thing. And David now is going to face Goliath. And God gave him a testimony beginning in verse 41. 41, we read, the Philistine came, began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him or ridiculed him, for he was but a youth, rosy complexion, good looking. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Here comes David. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the world may know that there is a God in Israel." A testimony in the face of giants and mountains and rivers and troubles, financial and physical and relationships and conflicts, in all kinds of difficulties, our loudest testimony comes during those times. People understand that we can get along and have some joy and peace when things are going well. But when trouble hits, what is our testimony? Well, David didn't give in to the fear of the threat of Goliath. Goliath makes this boast: I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David comes back: I'll strike you and take your head from you. Now, you have to love that. That's his testimony. And the greatest thing is this: you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. By what name do we survive this morning? By the most powerful, sovereign name in the universe, the name of our God. Do you have a testimony this morning? You have some giants and trials, difficulties. What is your testimony? We need a testimony during these days to fellow Christians. Fellow Christians need our encouragement, need our testimonies, and the world certainly needs it. In the seventh place, God prepared David for battle, verse 48. And it was so that when the Philistine, verse 48, arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David turned and rode back toward the camp in fear of the giant. Oh, wait a minute. When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. This may be the thing in this passage I love the most. David ran toward him. That is awesome. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him. God prepared David for battle so that he could run toward the giant. And God gave David a talent and a skill that may be among the most awesome events in history, athletically or militarily. The weapon that David had, a sling with a stone. And we used to make these at home when I was a child. And you get the cords in the leather pouch, and you find some rocks, and you sling, and you have to get the right velocity. You have to let go of one cord at exactly the right moment to have any amount of accuracy. Even a wide target is almost impossible to hit. But to think that David could do this in a space of maybe not even that big, in this armor, is an awesome thing. The thing that may be closest to that is to try to keep from hitting a slice of the golf ball. Now, if you can do that, you've got something going. Here is a skill and a talent that God gave David at this moment, which was supernatural. He gave him also courage. In the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, courage is not listed in that. That passage is not exhaustive of the fruit of the Spirit. Courage is certainly one of them. God, give us courage in this sinful, evil world. God, give us courage this morning in our own personal life. Prepare us to live in this world. Number 8, God enabled David to be thorough in victory. And the final part of verse 50 says, there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Whether you like it or not, folks, here's capital punishment. Yeah. Better believe in capital punishment. You better vote for the person who believes in it. Thoroughness in the victory. Love it. Goliath is dead. He needs to be dead. He needs to be removed permanently. No halfway measures in faith. Go all the way. The army fled. What a great passage for our encouragement this morning. For us to pray that God will use us for our giants, because they're God's enemies. Nothing is by chance. Nothing is by accident. No opposition can face us but that which is preordained by God Himself. What do? Rely on Him. Trust Him. Don't try to conjure up methods and plans and armor of our own. Take God's armor, the Bible and the Holy Spirit, which is more than sufficient to meet Goliath, rivers, mountains, difficulties, and see God's victory. May the Lord bless this passage to our hearts this morning. And by the initiating work of God's Holy Spirit, come to our hearts this day and equip us to live in victory with a testimony through our trials of life. Encourage our hearts this morning and fill us with faith and help us to go out into life to live for your glory. Our prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen.